Yes, this is Robert Shapiro.
Like Robert Kardashian is his friend.
Well, we're very sorry.
Sensational Johnny Cochran.
He's very depressed.
Marsha.
American Crime Story, : The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Can you imagine getting O.J. to play O.J. in this? I'm the one, natural one. Take it easy. You can take it easy in court. Welcome to the sidebar. I'm F. Lee Bailey, being played by Dave the Clone. Joining me tonight on the show is Mr. Johnny Morton, R.R. Esquire.
What's up?
Oh, man, does anybody remember that? Was that Soul Coughing? What song was that? Like, these two episodes. All right, guys, we missed a week here. We missed an episode. We're running late, so we're going to do two. Get that two for the price of one tonight on American Crime Story, the podcast from the Hollow Nine Network, covering the FX Network show, American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. I choose to say it that way. I don't know if other people are calling it O.J. Trial than American Crime Story, but whatever. We've been over this, and I'm not going to go over it again. But anyway.
I think in England it's officially called The People versus O.J. Simpson. And North America, it's American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Because, of course, we're going to put the American part of the title first. We're like, yeah, fuck you.
I think whatever we call it, we'll know what we're talking about, because it's the only show we talk about.
No, you're right. Yeah, well, we have a couple shows we're talking about.
That we're supposed to talk about.
Yeah, but so that's, at least on this podcast, the only show we're talking about. We're going to be covering conspiracy theories and a jury in jail. I thought like probably two pinnacle episodes of the season, maybe the two best episodes of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you definitely got the glove finally.
Yes. God, what a
sort of, like, there was a few landmark moments we don't want to see. I guess the Bronco chase.
Yeah.
The glove. If then it's gonna be, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, that's. I was like, wait, when does he say that? I forget.
Well, I think it's closing statements, probably.
I feel like that. Well, no, you're right. Probably was. See, now, like, that's the thing. At the end of the trial is when I was really sick in the hospital. So,
yeah.
My recollection of that part, other than when he was acquitted, is a little bit on the weird side. But it definitely is striking me how much time in reality went by between a lot of these milestones, and how quick it feels because we have only a week between episodes, and we're only getting like 10 episodes for the season. You know, it's kind of interesting how it feels like they're like zipping through this.
How many are left? I think three left, two left.
No, after this, I think there's two left.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, wait. This is 6 and 7, or is this 7 and 8? This is 7 and 8. So, yeah, I think there's only two left after this.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So it's going to get down to the wire with the nitty gritty and craziness. But I mean,
I think Jury in Jail was my favorite episode of the season, actually.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah. It was just fun.
It was unexpected.
It was different. It was
definitely
different.
Unexpected. Very the way it was done, the way it was presented, even the storytelling out of order on that.
Yeah.
Was really interesting. And I thought it
reminds. Do you remember so many jurors getting dismissed?
I don't remember it being as obvious that it was a game the way they made it in this show. You know what I mean? Like,
what a crazy trial.
This shit makes it feel like, it feels like a Scorsese movie almost. You know, it's like Wolf of Wall Street meets, I don't know, what are the great courtroom dramas? Primal Fear, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be in that territory, because there's definitely some craziness going on here. But I remember more ironically the sexual tension between Marcia Clark and Chris Darden actually being spoken about in the media, which I feel like was probably more the focus of the conspiracy theories episode. But yeah, it definitely felt like I'm surprised even Ito didn't straight up say, like, all right, for God's sake, guys. And I know eventually he did, but like the way that episode portrayed it, it almost felt like, whoa, this mm-hmm. was like such a pretty clear cut, like whether he did it or not literally never made a difference in this whole thing. You know, even the Colombian necktie thing, holy shit.
Yeah,
remember, that was amazing. Wow. Oh yeah. My god, Oh my God. To the point where even like he's like he faxed that over. That's like the equivalent of a text message. You know what I mean? Like that's another thing that dates this whole thing so much. And he literally just faxes him those two words, Columbia necktie. And as soon as that happened, one of his students turned around. They're just like, oh my God. Yeah. Like I get the whole idea of like almost like, yo, you just played a full house, dude. You just like you just got blackjack, you know, like.
I think Dershowitz loves himself a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's so much ego. So much ego.
Everywhere.
On all sides. And, I mean, I hate – well, I don't hate to say it, but it's just – to me, it's weird that I feel like I'm getting more and more respect for Bobby Kardashian, Robert Kardashian. Yeah.
He seems the most human.
Yeah, it's insane, right? Like how he's the only one saying what I think – it's almost dawning on me just because he's saying it. Like, who the fuck else could this have been? You know what I mean? Like seriously, why is there no theory on who else it was? Like, let alone being set up by the police just because they're racist. But, like, who are they protecting then? You know, who did it? You know?
Well, he knows that's enough for, what's that, you know?
Reasonable doubt.
Reasonable doubt, but reasonable doubt. He's not really – he's his lawyer, but more his friend, so.
Well, there's also the fact that he was friends with Nicole, too. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I don't need evidence to have my own opinion, right?
I think it's more just that he's like, there's such a giant elephant in the room that none of us are talking about, and that's like – if he didn't do it, who the hell else did?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why does nobody give a shit about that side of this?
Agreed. It was Kardashian. It's so funny seeing how his kids now, what a respectful guy, at least this show is making out him out to be.
There's that one part where he's like hugging Chris and crying.
That was like the end of the second episode.
Is that? Yeah, that's the end of Jury of Jail, right?
By the way, though, we'll just be talking about the two shows loosely tonight.
Yes, we're going to be bouncing all over the fucking place like the chick who goes crazy and tries to just run out of the place. And, like,
yeah.
The guy has to, like, tackle her to the ground. Oh, my God. They make it seem like, I mean, definitely it seems like being sequestered on a jury like that would be so shitty. They actually did make it seem like it was being in prison.
What a great, like, was that like a, I don't know, a cold open, I guess? The way, like, but just like a not like a... epic scene, just the new bailiff, not bailiff,
the new deputy, what
deputy,
they
whatever on yeah. guard there, just opens the door, gives them crap for being 4 minutes late. It's like,
and they're like, who the fuck are you? Where's the other guy?
I know jury duty is my like civic duty, but treat them with respect.
Seriously, like, we didn't join the army, motherfucker. What's going on here? What is this shit? We pay your salary with our tax dollars, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was wow.
And that was funny because that was the solution from that girl going to complain and begging, like, can I just go home? And he's like, well, I could rotate out the deputies who are watching over you guys if that's one of the problems, and let's see how that works. Because it's like
– yeah, but did they have like 3 weeks ago – did they show the timeline, or we just have to figure it out based on not being an idiot?
With that episode in particular?
Yeah, like, did it start
They did say, yeah, it did say 3 weeks earlier when they pulled up. No, you know what it is? No, I think that they did assume that you would, because they say, oh, wow, I've never been in a hotel this nice before. You know, it's like they're clearly not the pissed off, surly people that they were before the title card or whatever. Because wasn't it after the title? Didn't the title come up first? Like,
oh, right. It went to that scene and then to the – like right when they got selected and they're all excited and they go to the first room, has no TV.
Yeah.
And the guy's going to the bath, to the pool. And they get like,
sir,
by the deputy.
Shut up and get out of the pool. It's like, yo, what the fuck is this? The pool is a – I mean, literally, what were they supposed to do? You know, just sit in their rooms and stare at the walls whenever they're not in court? It just seemed like it made no sense. You're like, what the hell?
Didn't those Blockbuster VHS cassettes, like the boxes, bring you back?
Oh, my God, yeah, dude.
Seeing them stacked up, like, one on top of the other like that.
And even, like, the fact that the cabinet that TV would have been in was so deep because TVs weren't flat screens back then.
Oh, yeah, they're like the cathode tube-ish.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Tube-ish, tube.
I don't know. I know people are out there listening going, but wait a minute! Darden and Marsha almost fucked in the last episode, and they're not even talking about it.
Oh yeah, so they goes like a bat. She goes to like a bachelor party, or was it a?
It was a birthday party, It might as well have been a bachelor party. The way they were all talking about, like, "Yo, dude,
yeah,
dude."
That was unexpected.
Y'all is on the road.
Yeah, she was like partying with the rest of them. I was surprised she wasn't doing like shots off their bellies. And
body
shit.
Shots, they call.
Yeah,
those.
Body shots. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not that hip.
None of us are. None of us are. I mean, it was just, it's kind of like a, I've often thought about what it must have been like to be working on a trial like that or working on a case like that. And if you're out in public, even if it's not with a group of friends, you know what I mean? Like, do random strangers come up to you and say, so, look, I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm not saying he's guilty. But, you know, we actually, I thought it was really cool that they made a big deal, a huge pivotal scene of that first episode of Conspiracy Theories was her actually going through a fan, you know, basically a fan conspiracy theory about the O.J. Simpson trial.
Yeah, was she allowed to do? Is she allowed to do that?
Like, I don't know what. It felt very, very movie-ish. You know, very like we're taking some liberties. None of this would ever happen. And
the book that it's based on is obviously considered nonfiction, right?
I would assume so. It may, but I don't know if it's official or unofficial. You know, if it's one of those unofficial, like the unofficial definitive telling, where I'm like, well, it's definitive, but it's not whatever, man.
Like, but like, is the way it's written like a story, or it's like interviews and?
I have not read it. I wonder if any of our fans out there have, and if they would want to maybe email in at. Hollow9podcast@gmail.com #.
It's like after I read,
crime story. Like, dude, really? So, that shit was hilarious right there.
Say it again.
Hollow9podcast@gmail.com #crime story in the subject line. If you've read the Tubin novel, or I guess Tubin, I'll call it a book because I feel like novel implies fiction, but Run of His Life, the book that the show is based on, let us know. Is it more like World War Z, where it's just like, you know, recaps from transcripts of interviews, or is it presented like the show, where you have a John Travolta trying to be a Bobby Shapiro?
Yeah, what I was saying, interrupting you during the the funny part is that was the first time I did that. Then, but yeah, I think
we're becoming a married couple, man. It's
have you ever seen Moneyball?
No, I haven't. I've kind of sort of purposely avoided it.
Moneyball's like a fluid story like this, but I read the book and I was wondering when the movie was coming out, like how could they make a movie like this?
Gotcha.
So I'm thinking it's like this. The book is probably more
technical.
I guess technical documentary style, I guess you could say.
Gotcha.
That's what I would think now, comparing it to Moneyball. And the story is more fluid like a story.
Which I think, you know, I don't mind. I know there are probably people who are going to be bothered by anything. Like
the only other way to make it, I guess, would have been like Making a Murderer, which is a total different kind of show.
Right, which I also have not watched. I'm not like – I notice I'm not jumping on a lot of trend wagons lately.
You're too cool.
Well, you know, we have a lot of stuff that we're watching for our podcasting here, including all the movies for What Am I Watching? And we are doing some rewatching for some other shows that we're launching. So it's kind of like, you know, you got to pick and choose. And then weekends, you can only binge so much.
Exactly. What are some of the What Are You Watchings coming up?
Coming up that haven't been released yet. I don't know. We've got a vault with there's a little thing called Mad Max Fury Road that's in there. I know there's Lost Boys in there. Up next, I think to be released is if I'm not mistaken, our Man Who Fell to Earth episode, which is part of our ongoing Bowie tribute of 2016.
Nice.
Galaxy Quest is in there, which is part of our ongoing.
I never saw that. I should see that.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Fuck this shit, man. How did you not see that? Galaxy Quest is part of the ongoing Rickman tribute of 2016.
Crazy.
Yeah, so lots of stuff going on.
It's a great show. You should all check it out.
But, Marsha totally does a conspiracy debunking using shot glasses. And wins the hearts of all of Darden's friends who are like, dude, you better bang that chick. You better fuck that chick.
I thought she was just going to, like, take turns blowing them at one point. After,
wow.
Like, yeah. Like, Obviously, I know she wasn't going to because it's Marsha Clark, but I'm saying,
like, wow, dude.
I don't know, man. Like, she was the center of the
party. Tell us what you think. was it?
Maybe it's because I'm so used to seeing Sarah Paulson in American Horror Story that.
Yeah, it is weird how not like herself she seems playing Marsha Clark. Like how transformed. Like every moment of both of these of this whole season, this whole show, mm-hmm. as I'm watching her, it's just like, yo, this is. I know I've said it a lot, but this is Cordelia. This is Hypodermic Sally. This is the mother
Marsha
of
fucking Clark.
The mother of Bloody Face. She is a full transformation into Marsha Clark. And I loved in the beginning of yeah, she's an actress. Yeah, she's an actor.
No, like,
it's what they
like
do.
She's a fucking great actor, is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, yeah. And even I think they did. They added the beauty mic, right, to match Marsha Clark on her.
Yeah, head. I'm sure.
But yeah, it's like when she was walking in and Gil Garcetti goes, "Love your hair." And she goes, "Can you not ever mention my hair again?" It's just like that. You're like, holy shit, she's awesome. Mm-hmm. But
so let's
talk
about how the how the defense like manipulated the prosecution into like the glove.
Oh my God. Well, I was going to say there also was that episode that they showed Ito watching TV and he saw all the Lance Ito's, the shit that I was talking about. And then there was the Marsha Clark dancers too. Like there was a Marsha in there. Yeah. So it shows the media circus part of it. And I think that's also what fed into the glove thing too. It was really, it was neat, man. It's interesting to see how much of like Pitbull's Effley Bailey and Johnny Cochran really are.
Oh my
are.
God.
Like holy
the funniest
shit.
Line of the whole season was in Jury in Jail when they're in the judge's office eliminating a juror and they're talking about the first juror that they're taking out how he raped his wife and Effley Bailey goes, "Well, technically it wasn't rape in 1988."
Between man and wife.
Between husband and wife. And then Marsha Clark goes,
she's like, yeah. She's like,
did you really just say that
you
out
loud? You said that out loud. Like,
yeah.
Like, not even asking. Like, yo, you said that out loud. Like, idiot. You're supposed to just think that shit.
Like,
wow.
I hope that really happened. Like, just that funny part. Sorry. I hope
it must have. It must have.
I hope Lee Bailey doesn't think like that. But, like, I hope it was that delivery that.
It just shows how soulless the law is. That's one of the things I'm finding watching this show is like my faith and my almost even ability to do anything other than laugh at our justice system is like, you know, like being tested like harshly.
It wasn't
tested.
Rape in 1988.
Oh husband man. And then what does he say to him when he goes, "You're a stud of a field mouse"? And Darden's like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "If you don't ask him to try those gloves on, I will." You know, like,
yeah.
It's definitely like, they're like, "Yo, you better fucking do this, dude." And then Cochran even like Jedi mind tricking him with the, "Your Honor, I see where they're going with this and I'm not having it." And he's like, "Your Honor," he's objecting to something I didn't even ask for. And like, what the fuck's going on here, guys?
But how do people not realize, like, with those sticky latex glove on sticky leather? Also, by the way, Darden to this day feels Johnny Cochran actually tampered with the gloves.
Well, they kind of show.
They alluded to it with Shapiro.
Shapiro, yeah. Like, holy shit, which I know we did get one email about the show this weekend. It's from our awesome listener, Jenny. And she mentions that too. Like, why were the gloves just like sitting there? And he was able
that
to walk.
Have happened.
Why he walks right in front of Eric? Like he almost. They made it a point of him saying hello
yeah,
to
that
a guard as he walks over to the gloves, and he's like trying to put them on himself, and he's just like, "Oh, interesting." And I'm like, nobody sees this
that
happening.
That couldn't have happened.
Nobody sees this happening.
Yeah.
What the fucking fuck?
Yeah.
And then
so Darden thinks Johnny Cochran actually tampered with him.
Tampered with them as in like switched them out with a different pair.
Oh, I guess maybe like took some stitching out, made them small. He just said tampered.
Shrunk them. Shrunk them somehow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take these home, throw them in a dryer, shrink them. I don't know, man. It's also the fact that like leather, once it gets wet, they shrink and they were drenched in blood.
But those latex gloves, there's no way you could fit those in with those latex gloves. How did no one see that?
Well, and the fact that Shapiro was touching them without latex gloves, you know what I mean? That he just walked right up to them and tried to try them on.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and I will say, not to criticize Cuba Gooding Jr. because, you know, balls to take on a role like this anyway. You know, all of them, balls to the fucking wall, insane. But I feel like I remember watching it on TV when he was trying the gloves on. And it was so kind of blatant that it's like he wasn't trying very hard to get mm-hmm. them on. You know, I feel like on the show they did more where he's like trying to push them down between his fingers and stuff. But he, I think in the show, was being a little more obvious of like, yeah, they're too small. Yeah, they don't fit. You know, like in real life, he wasn't saying it like that, but his face, you could just see it was bullshit. You know, like he mm-hmm. wasn't trying to get them on. And I didn't even think, to me, it looked like they were on. You know what I mean? Like I was like, all right, they're on. What is fitting supposed to be? That is the wrist part supposed to cover
and
halfway
still able
up
to grip the knife.
I know. Is that supposed to like go halfway up your arm for that thing to consider it's like fit? Well, I was just like, I don't know, guys. To me, that shit looks like it's on.
Yeah, and it's funny how his friends want to start playing. Like once he became innocent in the media after that, his friends start coming to visit him.
Yeah. It's like everything became and he had the whole like the really good poker face, I guess, that they which is kind of interesting that they chose to highlight that. Although he has a much better poker face than he does when he has it in court. It's almost like, dude, I feel like he's being a little obvious, you know, at least the way Cuba's doing it. Like it's like he's smiling so much that it's like, yo, how the fuck did they ever let this guy be found not guilty? You know, it's so
I can't believe it.
Like he might as well be playing with their dead corpses in the courtroom and they're still like, yeah, well, that's OJ, he's just doing it for a laugh, you know. Oh man, it was rough. But I think the other huge thing, besides the fact that apparently Cochran beat his ex-wife,
yeah, sort of bribed her with a country house,
and it didn't work apparently because she still went on a current affair. Like, I can't believe that a current affair is not on anymore. That's one of the things, like seeing it on this show, current affair was the shit. Everybody was watching a current affair. Was it Rosanna Scotto? Who was the, I forget what the name.
I don't know, but I remember it coming on.
And if the real Rosanna Scotto is listening to this, please don't sue us. It was an honest mistake if it's not you. But I just remember, even in Dumb and Dumber, that when they had it, you're just like, yeah, that's the shit. Fucking current affair. That's where the truth lies. In a show whose, you know, logo was a giant pyramid, thus being an Illuminati. Anyway, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to go there, not there, not now. But, yeah, speaking of conspiracy theories, so after debunking the conspiracy theory in the bar and before the glove debacle, there is the other conspiracy theory that I feel like was maybe just mainly in the public, maybe touched on in the tabloids, but Darden being a good guy, I guess, and not taking the very obvious, well, maybe not so obvious, probably the most obvious Marsha Clark has ever been from the way she's being portrayed, but yeah, she definitely wanted you to do more than say goodnight, man.
Yeah.
It was like, yo,
stick it in.
Seriously, dude. Seriously, how do you not? I don't know. I know that's so horrible to say. Hopefully our female listeners weren't just offended. But, I mean, like, that was what she wanted, right, ladies?
Yeah. Sorry. she wanted that.
we're not advocating.
She wanted to, yeah.
And then immediately once she got rejected, now that is something that you know is real. Like, the second they get rejected, holy shit, they go ice cold like fucking Michonne razor blade samurai sword chop friend zone. Oh, like it's over. Because immediately it was like, good night, Darden.
You cannot cross that bridge again.
Good night, Darden. Yes. You will never be Chris again. Who he was even balls out just inviting her to go on that trip. It was like she made that like, I need a vacation coming, and it's like, oh hey.
Yeah.
I happen to be going on a vacation.
Where did they go again?
I forget. Like it was like close enough that they could drive.
It was like
so.
Vegas or something?
I don't even think it was Vegas. I thought it was another part of California, like Northern California maybe. Or...
Yeah, maybe.
It's somewhere that drivable, but you want to stay the night.
Napa Valley.
Yeah, maybe some shit like that.
Little wine country.
Some where they go and find the dive bar and do shots all night.
And if they didn't go there, they should have.
And oh my God, I thought it was actually, I really liked the sequence when they showed her explaining away all the, conspiracy ideas. She's like, so you mean that this guy did this and then this, and they actually I actually liked the dramatization of it when they were showing what it would look like if it really happened, you know.
How would there I didn't think that really happened though is how is there no media there? It's like, come on, Darden and Marsha Clark are
getting
trashed in a public bar.
How did they even? How did they leave town together and not be seen leaving town?
Yeah, and they're checking into a hotel. Like, come on, it's California.
Yeah, even though they had separate rooms.
A bellboy doesn't call for like 50 grand. They would no, I don't know, 50 grand. $3,000
Yeah, back then, yeah.
The 90s version of TMZ. I don't know. Was Entertainment Tonight scummy?
A little bit, and so was A Current Affair, really, too. I mean, obviously, since they were putting on the...
Like the National Choir or whatever they
Yeah. Oh, well, that's. I think that's where I remember there actually being all the, like, the actual printed, is there something going on between Darden and Marsha Clark? And they. I feel like there were all these times that they were alluding to it up until this episode. And maybe this was the episode that's supposed to put to bed all the, no pun intended, put to bed all the theories about it, where it was clearly like opportunity lost. Mm-hmm. But even like before that, when he was yelling at Chris Bauer for not knowing what a Colombian necktie was, and he kind of goes on this like, guys, we need to make our own big moments, blah, blah, blah. And Marsha's just like looking at him, and then she goes, I liked it. You're like, whoa, dude, whip it out right there. Close the door, shut those blinds, and get a blowjob right now.
Yeah.
That was the level they were at. And I don't know, whatever. And then the whole rest of the time after that, it was just like, when they had the 15-minute recess, he comes and sits down, she gets up and walks away and comes back 15 minutes later. She wouldn't, like, you know, he brought her coffee. She's like, oh, I already had coffee. And he goes to close the door. She's like, nope, leave that open. It's like, dude, so bad. So bad. So, yeah, that's...
Better be careful coming into the smoking section. The nursery's downstairs.
Oh, shit. Wait, what? Yeah.
Well, Marsha Clark said that to... what's his name?
Oh, when he comes out later.
Yeah.
On...
She's got some balls.
Yeah, well, they were like, they also, I mean, it's funny, too, when they showed how confident they got with the glove thing, when they were like, all right, Nicole Bottom, they're ours, we got it, we got this, you know, and it's exactly what she said. As soon as you put it in the other side's hands, you never know what's going to happen. And
that's some good detectiving, the way they found out they got the gloves.
Good.
Nicole Bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that, oh, we saw Jordana Brewster for like 5 seconds, who is Nicole's sister who's watching the kids. Oh, my God. What about that?
Oh, God. That
when
was
the daughter's like, are you helping my daddy find the person who killed my mommy? And it's like, yeah, see? And that, again, goes to the, what I remember after him being acquitted, leaving the courtroom in a limo and getting back to the compound at Brentwood and... He wasn't at the press conference, but it was like his son or something. Maybe it was Robert Kardashian. I don't know. And they were reading a note saying that like he was going to never rest until they find out who really did it. Like, you know, like he himself personally was going to lead up the efforts to find the person. And I was just like, what a fucking scumbag. You know what I mean? Like, I remember as a kid going like, God, dude, you son of a bitch. Just like. Just say that you're really upset about everything. Don't, like, be this retarded.
Yeah, don't go out of the way.
Yeah, like, over the top, stupid, trying to be a hero kind of thing.
Ugh.
Like, you already got away with murder. Stop, like, gilding the lily.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's yet to come. That's after gloves don't fit, must acquit territory. What else was there in the first one of the conspiracy theory?
You watched it today's.
Oh, it was also the Shapiro. It was really kind of making, that was the one thing I felt like.
It's like, good for him, finally. He's back on the team.
But he's also being, like, this episode, the first episode, he was being so subversive. Like, all, like, he was, like, mind-fucking Robert Kardashian, going like, oh, well, you know, there's footage of you carrying a garment bag out of Brentwood. You know, like, you know, maybe you disposed of the murder weapon. And, you know, I'm sure if you turned it in now, it would still just be busted down to.
Dump is Kardashian, though.
Like, you know, accomplice or what was it? Accomplice or shit.
Accomplice.
Accomplice after the fact. Something like that. Conspiracy after the fact. Whatever it
is. How dumb is Kardashian or like how naive?
But it's true, though. What if the knife was in there?
Just call his lawyer right after. And...
Well, he also is a lawyer. I feel like he should have known. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know, but Robert Shapiro was definitely just pressuring him. It was so obvious. How did he not see that?
Yeah, but it worked. It worked. Now, do you think, because I don't think they, I feel like I don't remember if they actually said, Cochran's whole thing was that he thought Shapiro leaked the story about his ex-wife and everything and like planted that in the media. They never confirm it, but like
Shapiro gave like a little line like you gave a look.
I feel like if that was too much. Like Shapiro is too dumb to pull some of that off, you know, but like wearing the police pin, like the police sympathy pin.
Oh, so stupid when they're trying to do they're trying to make the LAPD look bad during the whole trial.
And then there was also when he was being questioned by the media, he goes, oh, well, you know, it's like the LAPD is a fine organization. It's just a few bad apples. And you're like, whoa. Everybody's like, what a piece of shit. I don't know. But yeah, then after the glove thing, he became like, you know, he's back. Everybody loves him. And then he had Cochran doing that, ooh, child, things are gonna get easier, until the TV comes on again. Oh, God, now what else?
Then they just started, like, knocking jurors off for the whole part, yeah. For 20 minutes. It was awesome.
Oh, my God, dude, it was crazy. That second episode was nuts, the jury in jail episode. Like, all the artificially created tension, but it probably was basically real, like, the argument about whether they should watch Martin or Seinfeld.
That was great.
My God.
How crazy it is then. Like, they couldn't watch anything on TV because everything was OJ then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they couldn't watch, like, even like a Dodgers game would probably talk the OJ.
Because during the commercials or the commentators would say, oh, you know, OJ loved to watch the Dodgers, man. He enjoyed coming to a game, you know.
Right now,
you don't think he murdered his ex-wife, do you? Oh my God, I really hope that jury's listening right now because we don't think he did it, jury. Like, that's basically what they're afraid of, I guess.
They would have had Netflix now.
So yeah,
that would have been allowed.
Oh, they would also have to make sure that you're not watching Naked Gun or any other movies that had OJ in it. You know, that's. I was thinking about, because that it's like, you know, that would affect your bias towards.
Well, what if you already saw Naked Gun, though?
Oh, that's a good point. Shit. They never take that into consideration, I guess, do they? Are you a fan of the films? Well, I just
suck. Like they'd be allowed Netflix. Oh, sorry, Naked Gun's on Netflix.
Yeah, no Netflix for you.
Eight months, nothing. Like even that little like. I don't even think it was a magazine.
It was like Reader's Digest, I think, yeah. Or it was the TV Guide. It might have been the TV Guide, something like that. And he's like, "This will be reviewed,
it was like a vacation brochure,
and returned to you if appropriate." And I'm just thinking, like, dude, imagine, like, these days it would be like we're checking your phones, we're checking your tablet, we're checking your laptops if you weren't allowed to have any of these things, and you're not allowed to work online, and you're like, I can't not work online, motherfucker. You're keeping me away from my job and only paying me $5 a day. This is some bullshit.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, my God, too, the other thing about how many of these jurors lied just to be on the jury, apparently. You know, like... You have people who are like when Ito's like, hi, so this picture is of you, and who's standing next to you? Mr. Simpson. And what are you doing? Shaking hands. With who? Mr. Simpson. Do I need to say any more? You know, and it's just like.
But how long after the trial was that?
It's late. It's after the gloves. So chronologically.
The picture with OJ, fine. That could take a while. But a guy kidnapping, like.
Yeah, and then what was the other thing? The girl, the domestic abuse, the first one that they show. Like, the very first one that they show come into Ito's office. And she was the one who was trying to stir things up with the older guy in the jury room earlier that day.
No, but I think that was just like a complaint that was never followed up on. So that would have been like a local sheriff called them in.
Yeah.
But like the guy was like charged with kidnapping or something. You know what I mean?
And like, then he was like, we just drove around for a little while. It wasn't
she doesn't mind anymore.
It wasn't kidnapping. Yeah, but it was just the fact that anything that could be used, you know, and it really became like a chess match between the two of them, and then when they would show the board, and it would like pieces would slide.
They had names for the jurors.
Pictures would fade away. Oh my God! Yeah, right. What was it like?
The demon.
She must not get on this in this jury. And she then, of course, winds up on the jury. Man, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm. That was just crazy. It was funny. A little funny.
It's funny.
More sad. OJ wanted to testify, and they do the mock trial, and he was just awful.
Oh, God. And they're like, hold on. You know, they keep putting him on hold. They keep putting him on mute.
No, but they did the actual mock trial, though.
Yeah, like, I know. But they, like, when that was when he was the one pushing for it. You know, when they were all trying to discuss. And they're like, should we do this? And, like, everyone's like, no, dude, absolutely not. Yeah. Like, wait, what if we do it like a run-through? Like, interesting idea, Juice. How about this? We try doing, like, a rehearsal. And then, and they actually got someone who tried to. They tried to make her look like Marcia Clark. So it was
she was, you know.
You know, as close of a what it would really be like type situation.
He didn't testify in the end.
I don't believe so. I don't remember. I don't remember him doing that. So. I feel like if that happened, it would have been when I was like first hospitalized, which when I was had like 104 degree fever.
Yeah, plus we would have seen it on TV. Again.
Yeah, I feel like that would be something. Changed. It wouldn't be questionable. It'd be like, yo, that shit definitely happened.
No, it would be a big part of pop culture too. Like.
Because I'm sure his testimony would be exactly like it was in the mock version.
Oh god!
Where you might as well say, "I fucking did it, man. I just
that's what Robert Kardashian.
I fucking killed these people. I don't know how you guys take this long to kind of figure this out. Like when he, oh my god, when Shapiro went to visit him by himself, and he's like, "Where's your little police bin, Bobby? So I'm asking you, Bobby, why are you trying to undermine Johnny all the time? What's his half stepping, crossing the quarterback? You know, and he started like breaking out all the sports terms.
You're the running back.
Yeah.
But Robert Kardashian, I think it was during that mock trial where he realized OJ's a monster.
This guy did it. He fucking did it. Oh my god.
Or
my
like even if he didn't, this is like look what else he did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Holy shit. Oh my god, yeah, how he was trying to just talk about like things that he did, like, oh, you know, that wasn't that bad. It wasn't really, it wasn't the way you make it sound.
Then he had a nice cry with his ex-wife.
Oh, good fucking god. Good god. Wow. All
right. What else?
Yeah.
What else? We couldn't have covered two episodes.
Yeah, we usually do like an hour and a half on one episode.
Yeah, it's this whole
any emails? Life.
Any emails? All right. Well, we do have one email. Let's go there, and I'm sure we'll remember stuff from the episodes before once we come back. Maybe Jenny's email will spur some more conversation. And anyone else who wants to be just like Jenny, you can send your emails to hollow9podcast@gmail.com. That's the word hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, and the word podcast, followed by that little at symbol, you know, the A in a circle thing, gmail.com. Jenny writes, hey guys, they are really playing up. This is, I think, geared towards the first episode, towards conspiracy theories. They are really playing up the sexual tension between Marcia and Chris. I wonder how true to life it is. Question about the gloves. During the recess, Shapiro went over and tried the gloves on with no latex. How and why did they have OJ do it with latex gloves on? Also, doesn't everyone know that leather of any kind shrinks after it is wet? If those were the actual gloves, they were covered in blood, then sent to a lab where they were washed, and all these processes shrink the gloves. Why wouldn't they have gotten an exact match but brand new if they wanted him to try them on? Yeah, these are all questions that have been explored in pop culture and theory for like ages since this happened. I actually find out it very interesting that, and especially I think I was alluding to it earlier, that it's like now that this show is happening, is anyone else going to say, how the fuck have we not actually found this person yet if it wasn't OJ? You know, and I know in the civil court he was found guilty or liable, but it's not quite the same as saying, yo, the motherfucking blood was on his fingers and here, and it was definitely him. He definitely did it. But yeah, these are all good questions. Thanks for writing in, Jenny. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Jenny.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was heavily debated when it happened, too. You know, the one thing I feel like they aren't showing us in the last episode so much, other than, you know, the thing with Cochran's wife, which I feel like was brief and just brief enough to show that, oh, okay, everyone's playing dirty. But they're not showing us commentary from people like that Vanity Fair reporter. We haven't seen him in a couple episodes. Talking.
Oh, he was in the last episode. He's sitting with, because I guess he's there. He's sitting with, not Nicole's father.
Ron Goldman's father. No, we see him, but we don't see him telling people about the trial. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but he's there more to comfort Ronald Goldman, because he went through what he's going through.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying what we're not seeing represented on the show is the media representation other than the dancing Itos. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing anybody like a Rush Limbaugh or somebody who has like a fucking hardcore opinion of like, oh, he obviously fucking did it. For God's sake, why are we even talking about this? For God's sake. You know, or the other people going like, can't anybody just see how obvious the racism of the LAPD is? We've already had riots. We're going to have more. And that was another thing that in the conspiracy theory episode, Garcetti is saying to Shapiro, you know, we just had the riots and you guys are standing in a pool of gasoline playing with matches. And he's like, you know, it's going to happen again. And this time it'll be on you. And I feel like that's what got to Shapiro. That's what like rattled him enough to suddenly be like, we have to mend fences a little bit with the LAPD and stop being so, I don't know, aggressive about this. And I also like how Johnny Cochran completely deflected all that shit about him and his ex-wife when the reporters asked him about it. He's just like, you should be ashamed of yourself. It's the equivalent of have you seen Birdman?
No.
Oh my God. There's a part where, Michael Keaton is in the hospital and the reporters like somehow all figure out where his room is and they come bursting in and Zach Galifianakis is his friend and I think his manager and he turns around and he's like, get the fuck out of here, this is a hospital. It's just like the way he's so like fucking matter of fact about it, you know. It's like the way that Chuck Cochran's like, you should be ashamed of yourself, this is a murder trial, two people are dead here and you're talking about gossip, my God, you know, like all those reporters are probably like, I feel like shit.
You know? He's a pro. I don't think they feel like shit.
Yeah, man. But
is that it? Is there anything else we're missing?
Let's see. I don't know, man. I'm turning around and the episode's ending over here. I feel like it was just a lot of like, I don't know.
Awesomeness.
I don't feel like they're characters that we're going to have to care about beyond that episode, all the jurors. But they did do a lot of like quirkiness to kind of give the characters.
Well, when they went on strike, I don't remember that at all.
Were they all black?
People that wore like very not black, they were wearing like very colored. Were they not on strike?
I think it was like a partial, like it was just the fact that like the majority of them decided to be solid, you know, and say, we're all together, motherfuckers. It's already deadlocked. And
I didn't know they refused to come out. That was very
interesting too. How scared the defense was of a mistrial, you know, like of a hung jury. Whereas I feel like sometimes that's what they go for when things are looking bleak enough. Like when there's so much evidence against their defendant.
Yeah, not a trial like this. That's definitely going to be retried soon.
And OJ's like, I can't go through this shit again, man. Please. Plus, he's been in prison this whole time. So if he goes mistrial, he just stays there, right? Until they, I'm asking the guy in Canada. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a mistrial, maybe who wouldn't. Yeah, I know, right? Anybody want to email us in at hell9podcast@gmail.com and let us know? Hashtag crime story. We do. We should have an Effie Bailey on speed dial that we could call when we're sitting here having too many drinks talking about this case. You have balls of steel, my friend. You ask him about those gloves, or I will. Damn. Yeah, it happens. So, what did they say? Oh, and of course, I guess we can't really overlook the very last thing that we learn in the jury in jail episode, right? Which is there has been discovery of tape of Furman dropping an N-bomb.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, that's the cliffhanger they leave us with. Like, whoa, shit. So things are about to come to a head in that regard. So I know that was like, that was such a big
deal. That's going to be when Furman's getting grilled next
episode. It's fucking crazy. This is, there's a lot of stuff is going to come out. I think too, like, there are some things I feel like I remember, and then there's some things I'm like, man, I feel like they're totally making this up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there were moments where the caricature of how Johnny Cochran is being portrayed strayed a little bit to the, I'm like, I don't remember him being that animated, you know, like
he could have been.
He could have, I could, you know,
but like the stuff that I don't think happened was the 13. Ridiculous stuff is the ridiculous stuff. But like the trial was so ridiculous. It could have happened.
Well, and I also feel like, how would he not you know, be preparing for a part like this by not watching those tapes. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the things he must be choosing to do are probably taken from things he's seen on the recordings, but I just don't remember it being so obvious a shit show when they were talking about stuff that was actually serious, like lawyer defending shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
But meanwhile, he's like, you know, you took my client, da-da-da, you know? And you're just like, oh, dude, yeah. It almost feels too much, like too much of a... We are indicting the justice system. We are indicting celebrity justice. We are in, you know, like we're in indictment mode. Whereas episodes before these felt a little bit more dramatic without being, I guess, too caricature, too hokey. But that's, again, that's something that I felt only happened if it did happen for a few moments. And then I was right back to, oh, yeah, this show's fucking amazing. You know, like, this is definitely a show that I'm glad I'm committing to watch to be able to cover for a podcast. Yeah. You know?
It's going to be in my lexicon of one of my favorite shows. You know, every year I'm going to look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of those ones I'm like, all right, let's get this one 5 or 6 seasons and see how many different crime stories they can do. I'm definitely
very excited. Sorry, man. I mean, you know, I keep interrupting
you. No, that's fine.
All right, cool, you know. I love you, dude. It's all, you know.
But, getting deep over here on the fucking American Crime Story podcast.
Very excited. When, like, I guess it's like when season 3 will end. It's like you get to sort of ranking your favorite seasons.
Yeah, we'll get back to the same territory we were in with American Horror Story.
Yeah, you know, you get to compare what you like, what you didn't like.
Well, I also, I mean, I listen to a lot of other podcasts, and one in particular, I know the guys and gal over at How Did This Get Made are watching American Crime Story, and they keep, every time they mention it on their podcast, they say, please do the Robert Blake murder mystery next. And I almost feel like they must have not heard the reports that it's going to be some kind of Katrina-based crime. Mm-hmm. And I feel, I'm almost like waiting for their reaction too, because I honestly think that is a little bit of a misstep. And when I think about what story they're going to possibly do or how they're going to do something like based in Katrina, it almost feels like this is the kind of misstep that could derail them getting multiple seasons past this. You know, like,
with all due respect to Mr. Ryan Murphy, the brilliant man that he is.
Of course. From me as well.
I don't want to call him a liar, but like with American Horror Story, he's at least like misled the fans of what's coming up. Yeah. All in good faith. He doesn't want to give stuff away, you know?
Which we can understand and appreciate, but...
Seriously, with all due respect.
I mean, like, when you think about it, and maybe even just talking about some of these other cases might jog some other things that happened on this one, but, you know, think about how many, you know, how this is so... It's a courtroom drama, but it's more than a courtroom drama. Like, it almost reminds me of that horror movie, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, where it's like... just as much a courtroom drama as it is a possession movie and a horror film. I just think there are so many things that, like, after this, if you're choosing this one as the first one, the OJ trial, one of the biggest, most significant things is, and it's something that even Robert Kardashian mentions, that it was the single, at the time, biggest media event as far as a crime and trial that was ever covered in human history up to that point, you know, and we didn't have court TV yet. And this is like what things like this are. This is, I think, was the birth of court TV. And once court TV came out, how many major crime trials became these things that were not only like milestones in history, but that they were reference points. So, you know, think about, you know, the movie Cable Guy, and they mention they basically are lampooning the Menendez brothers trial. That the Menendez brothers is one I think they could totally do. The two brothers who like murdered their parents. There's the nanny who shook the baby until it died. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's the Robert Blake murder. There's all these ones that I think the coverage of their trials were not ever to the level that OJ was, but the only reason they were being covered is because OJ was, you know? So I almost feel like they tapped into something by picking this one as the first one and jumping to Katrina, unless it's supposed to be the fact that, like, we watched as the president basically ignored a national emergency and flew over it like days later going, oh, what the fuck's going on down there, man? And, oh shit, we better get some FEMA camps set up over there. I almost feel like what fucking crime story could you do that has the same level as this, you know, the mm-hmm. same level of intensity and characters that you can explore beyond what the media would have presented at the time.
Yeah, it's well said.
Yeah, and very long well and ranty. Said. I have no idea how I did it, but thank you. Yeah. hope you stuck with me there out there in the interview.
That was awesome.
I'm waking you up as your bus may be pulling in.
All I'm going to say is, no matter what the next season's going to be, I won't make the same mistake. Whatever I've done in the past, just disagree with Ryan Murphy. Whatever he does is amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't want a whole thing dedicated with the Bronco. It happened. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
A billion things in American Horror Story that I knew was coming up. Like, oh, I'd rather him not do it like this. He's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, yes, definitely. And we're not – yeah, please don't take our comments as too disparaging. We're just sort of thinking out loud a lot of the time. But just as fans who've come to expect the level of quality that they put out there, it just would be nice if maybe some of the things that we expect on that deeper level. Like, there are people out here who get it, man. We're not all the – what do they call that? The lowest common denominator that they have to dumb everything down to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, you're already – too smart for that with the way these programs are put together. So, you know, stick with the trend you could have been starting here, whether you knew it or not. And let's see, like, you know, keep it in the courtroom, but do the same thing you're doing here. Expand out in every possible way, cover every facet that we never even knew to think of. And I will say that I'm sure a lot of, you know, my feeling of how deep we get with these characters and the things that happen is because of how young I was when it happened in real life and not really thinking about all the implications of everything that should be going on or could be going on. But I don't know. I feel like it's a very well put together show. And
oh, that's amazing.
And maybe because of that, it's something that'll just get us thinking differently. I mean, I'm definitely, I almost feel like I want to study law from how much I'm like being pissed off about the way the court systems work, just from what we're seeing here, how it's like, it almost has nothing to do with the crime at all. You're just like, what the fuck? Like, guys, you know, they bring up the murder, everything, every time they think it'll get like headlines, you know, but like, it was Kardashian. He's like, I've learned everything there is to know about Ron Goldman. I know everything about Nicole. Why have we not found the guy who killed him? You know, it's like, sometimes the questions are obvious.
Awesome.
So go keep it in the courtroom, Murphy, and we will keep it right here on the podcast. This is the American Crime Story podcast from the Hollow Knight Network, bringing to you the very best in fan-made media, media made by fans, in case you weren't picking up on that little turn of phrase. And you can find us in multiple places in the Internetica universe. We have our own Facebook page. We've got a Twitter handle, which would be at Hollow Nine Cast, meaning at Hollow, the number 9, INECAST. You can also find us, where else can they find us? Podomatic, hollow9.podomatic.com. That's a home base mothership right now. You can find us on iTunes, where if you, you know, rated and reviewed us, that would be amazing. It would help us get some visibility, which helps us grow, which helps us do a better show, because then, you know, maybe we could just do more for you and customize things a little bit. Give us some feedback. Let us know how it's going and help other people find us as well. Is there anything you want to plug, Mr. Morton, that I didn't talk about? Anything?
No, just you got it. You covered it all. Sorry for the double episode. We'll definitely be up there. We'll record soon after the next episode's coming up, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank you, everybody. And awesome show.
Sorry, not sorry, because we packed an awful lot into basically the length of a single episode, so I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week with, I don't know what the title of next week's episode is, but maybe we'll leave that as a little surprise. But keep your ear to the ground, you know. We got a lot of stuff coming out. Keep an eye on the Facebook feed. That's where a lot of our news flashes go. And so until next time, I'm Dave the Clone.
I'm John Morton.
And this has been the Sidebar. You can go back out the way you came, impaled on that word. Good night. You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow Nine Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, INE, Cast. Email us at hollow9podcast@gmail.com or find us at our home site, hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, FangirlZone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow Knight!